this loudspeaker is set right, or just try to speak a bit loudly. If you be attentive, I hope my voice will reach you. Those who are sitting outside, they may also come here, please. Instead of, they won't follow my voice there. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I had to just introduce myself to you as a man to a man. God made man, you see, and equal privileges were given to each man, you see. There is no difference between a man and another man. The difference lies only in the fact that a certain man has dwelt in a certain way and he has become an adept in that way. The people who would like to learn that way, he will be competent to just guide them in that particular line in which he has just qualified himself, you see. I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master in India, Baba Saman Singh Maharaj, at whose feet I had the good fortune to learn the mystery of life, what it is and how to solve it. God made man and man made social religions. Social religions were made for the uplift of man. Man was not made for social religions, mind that. It is the social religions that were made for man. We had to make the best use of them. Just as Christ said, man is not born for Sabbath day. Sabbath was made for man, you see. So we have to make the best use of the social religions we are professing. Man is social and is therefore has to follow in sub-social body. The purpose of all social religions is to uplift man so as he may know himself and know God. That's the chief aim of all religions. To know God is the goal of all religions. He is the God of all, whether they are theists or atheists, you see. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming to the world and speaking about God. God cannot be described in words, cannot be, I would say, scaled within these small, what do you say, the scale of our intellect, finite intellect, you see. But however, whenever these masters who came in the past, they solved the mystery of life, they knew who were they? They had the first experience with themselves by self-analysis and came in contact with God. They, whatever experiences they had of the God, naturally they gave out in their holy sayings. And those holy sayings or utterings they made, they form the subject matter of our scriptures. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming, speaking about God and telling about the various experiences they had while coming in contact with God. So, whenever the masters went away, another master came up just to revive that old science of knowing oneself and knowing God. Old Greeks had that very ideal before them, and they put forth the motto, "Know thyself." That is the first thing to be realized. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. Self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Who we are, what we are. All masters had to say the same thing whenever they came. So all whatever they said, they formed the subject matter of so many scriptures now at our hand. Had we come, say, 100 years back, the masters who came in India, within that period, we would not have, before that period, we would not have the scriptures they have left for us. Let us go back still further, and if he had come, say 500 years back, we would not have the holy scriptures of the Sikhs. Still further if we go back, had we come before 1500 years back, we would not have the Quran of the Prophet Muhammad. Had we come even before 2000 years back, we would not have had this Bible with us. Still further, if we had come before 5 or 6 thousand years, before the valuable records of the Prophet Zoroaster and Lord Buddha would not have been with us. So these scriptures taken together are the so many pages of the Book of God that have been written, and there may be many more to be written. Whenever the masters will be coming, you see, they will be explaining all this in their own words, you see. But still, whatever they say, that subject remains still unsaid. Guru Nanak says that some people have come, some prophets, seers, sages, rishis of the old, some just spoke of His almightiness. He is almighty. Some said, well, He remains somewhere in the heavens like that. Others explained that He is immanent in every form. Further, other people said that, well, God resides in every heart. Well, this is one of the very few qualifications of God. God still remains unsaid, you see. Guru Nanak says, if all the masters, seers, sages and rishis who have come in the past, the same number may come more even now and speak of God, you see, continuously, without a break, even then the subject of God will remain unsaid. Because that cannot be brought in words, you see. Suppose, for instance, if you eat a mango, very sweet, you have tasted it, you want to just express it, how will you express? Tell me. There are no words. You try to give examples, it is sweet like that, it is sweet like that. Maulana Rumi, a Mohammedan saint, says, when I come in contact with God, I feel sweetness, ineffable, indescribable, just as a honey is just put on the skin. Well, how will you understand, you see? Another saint, a Mohammedan, he says, well, Farid, by name, well, when I take the name of God, I feel sweetness, like, he says, sugar. He says, like the sweet milk of a buffalo, you see. Then he says, no, still for it is just like honey. He says, no, still more, something like that. He gives some examples to show, but still that subject, how sweet God is, you cannot express. I may give you another example. Suppose you love somebody, he's your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. He seems very beautiful, very sweet, very attractive, with all that. Are there any words to express that sweetness that you feel? Well, it is not given to words to express the feelings of the heart or the experiences that you have within yourself by coming in contact with God, you see. Those masters who came in the past, they gave some description just to explain, bring home some idea of the great reality supporting, maintaining all creation. And with all that what they have said, still the subject remains unsaid. The masters who came in the past, they said, well, you remember what Walter Whitman said? He said, when I attempt to just say something, speak of something of the reality, he says, I speak, but I cannot. I become a dumb man, you see. How to express? So anyhow, all masters, sages, rishis who came in the past, they are one, that there is some great reality, one truth, which is the cause and supporting of all creation. That creation, creator, is more beautiful than all creation, you see. To see God, to come in contact with God, is the highest ideal or the aim of a man's life. Because the scriptures that are at our command, they are the fine records of the first-hand experiences they had with themselves first and then with God. What factors were found as helping factors on the way and what simply retarded their way. So all these things are summed up in the holy sayings of all the masters who came in the past. Though they related those in the language then prevalent when they came, you see. Language is different of all the scriptures. The way they express, they are also peculiar to themselves, but the subject matter that you speak of is the same. So we have respect, the lovers of God have respect for all seers, of all sages, of all masters who came in the past, because they spake as inspired by God. They became the mouthpiece of God. For that reason, because we love God, and they had first an experience of God, and God spake through them, that is why we have respect for all masters who came in the past. We have also respect for all the scriptures we have got at our command, at our hands today. We are most fortunate in the 20th century that we have scriptures, all the first-hand experiences of all those masters who came in the past, they had with themselves and with God. Now by their comparative study, we find that they are all one in just worshipping God. They say there is one God which is our aim in life. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. We may belong to one social religion or the other, but we are all worshippers of God. Well, what the commandments say? Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is what all others, masters, said in their own language, in their own scriptures, now with us. And further they say, God resides in every heart, because we love God, and God resides in every heart, we love all humanity. Irrespective of the fact whether they belong to one country or the other, one social religion or the other social religion. So when we are worshippers of the same God, we are brothers in faith. Fatherhood of God, by believing fatherhood of God, naturally we believe in the brotherhood of man. So all masters who are to come, they said the same thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Prophet Muhammad said, we are the members of the same family of God. Guru Nanak said, well, he is the only father we have. We are to worship him. So they are all one. These two commandments, you see, if we just live up to these two commandments, there will be peace on earth. When you love a man from the bottom of your heart, can you kill him? Can you steal him, you see, rob him of his wealth? Can you do any harm to him? Not the least. On these two commandments hang on all other commandments. On these two commandments, I have said, hang on all teachings, the teachings of all masters who came in the past. They are all one. If we but live up to these two commandments, we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. There will be no fear of the atomic age. We are each country dreading now. If it so happens, this war goes, well, there will be destruction of all humanity. There was a grand meeting, conference in Europe some years back, of all scientists, you see. The president stood up and said, we have got control over the forces of nature. Before knowing our own selves and knowing God. That is why all these inventions are being used for the destruction of man. Had we known our own self and known God, before we found out the laws of nature, and made other inventions, all these would have gone to for the uplift of man. So this is the social form of the religion, that man has to adopt, I say, for a safe journey back home, you see. To live in some social religion is a blessing. It is a blessing. Because otherwise if you are going to revolt, there will be corruption in the world, you see. Social religions are a help, are the preparatory grounds for knowing yourself and knowing God, that the ultimate goal is social religion has got before that, you see. Now the question remains, God made man and his social religion is comprised of men, and God gave equal privileges to all men alike. It is not that one man has got some more concession as compared with the other. All have got two eyes, 2 ears, out of formation of the man body is the same, and the inner construction of the man body is the same. And the disease they are suffering, I would say, their souls are under the control of mind. Mind is swayed by the organs of sense, our outgoing faculties. We are identified with the bodies and the outer environment so much so that we cannot differentiate who we are, what we are. To reach God, to know God, to see God, well, the first step we have to take is to know our own self. For the reason so to know God, you see, the first step that we have to take is to know ourselves first. For the reason that it is the soul that has to realize or see God or know God. Neither the intellect, nor the mind, nor the organs of sense, you see. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. That's why. For that, the Upanishads say that our body should be stilled, our mind should be stilled, our intellect should also be stilled. Only you will have some knowledge of your own self. When you know a drop of water, you will be in a position to know what can an ocean be to some extent, you see. God is all consciousness, a limitless ocean of all consciousness, I would say, and our souls being of the same essence as that of God, it is also conscious. We are all conscious entities, you see, and our conscious being is just enveloped, I would say, in the vesture of the body, physical body, so much so, we have become identified with it that we cannot now differentiate who we are, what we are. If you ask some child, you see, of 3 or 4 years, 3 years, where you are, who you are, what will he do? He simply opens his mouth and opens his eyes. He has some consciousness still that he knows he is somewhere here, you see. But as we grow in years, we become so much say, so much identified with the body that we cannot differentiate ourselves. We say, who you are? We say, well, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Campbell, you see. I am Mr. Ram or Singh. So to know oneself is the one thing before us. How to know ourselves? Before that, coming to that subject, we will just consider calmly, well, what are the higher values of life? We must know first man, the outer man and the inner man. About the outer man I have told you just now that religions, man being social, he has to live in some social religion so that his earthly life will pass in peace, so that he may become a good world citizen. His self should expand to embrace all men alike, you see. He should love God, love all humanity. There will be peace on earth. His earthly sojourn will pass in all smoothness, you see, and peaceful. The other side is, well, we look to the outer man, this man body, 5 or 6 feet high, what it is, who we are, what we are. You see with your eyes that such like bodies, time does come when something leaves it, which is now working through it. At the time of death, or I would say the day of the great final change, that is no bugbear, that is merely a change, you see. Just as I have come from India, you see, I am no more in India, but still I am alive. Similarly, when we leave this body, the indweller of the house is gone, he has to go somewhere, body is left inert, and that is according to the customs of the various social religions. They are put underground, consumed in flames of fire, or just drowned in waters, you see. So that which leaves this body at the time of death and is now working in the body we are now carrying, we have to know that self. That we are, really. You see, unless this mystery applies, what it is that leaves the body, it is now dwelling in the body, unless we know that, that is our true self, you see. When we know that self, we will be able to know the over self, which you call God, you see. You remember the life, in the life of Buddha, the enlightened. He was just to visit some town in his territory. He was a prince, you see. When arrangements were made on a grand scale to receive him, and they decorated the city all over, and when he was there, you see, he was moving on a chariot. The charioteer was driving, you see. On the way, they saw one old man with a haggard face and sunken eyes, very weak, with a staff in hand. He could not walk properly and staggered even by this beauty and the sport of the staff in his hand, you see. He simply saw that such a man that day, he asked the question, what it is. He was told that this man body that we are carrying becomes old and feeble, you see, thin. He was stuck.
Further he went, he saw a man who was just gasping for breath, passing through the agony of death. He asked what it is. He was told and he died. Naturally, this further took further possession of his mind. What is dying? What is living? The janitor, conceding that the prince was brought to the town just for recreation and amusement, he is growing sad and pensive, he took him round outside of the city, you see. Then he went out of the city, unfortunately, I would say, he saw four men just carrying the ghost of a dead body. Then the rain asked what it is. He was told that, well, it's a dead body and the indwelling is gone, you see. Further stopping, you see, what it is. So beautiful body I am carrying, and that it meets with this fate, and each one has to meet with this fate. There is no exception to the rule. In the world, you see, when an eviction order is issued, well, that is carried out at any cost, but it may be that that order may be delayed, execution thereof may be delayed, or might be postponed if some influence is just exercised. But when this eviction order from God or Godhead is issued, there is no exception to do. All have to go. Just think from the very commencement, when the world commenced, so far, limitless number of people were coming, kings, subjects, poor, rich people, influential people, even the masters, prophets, all did come, but left the body here and they went. When even the masters who took the body, they had to leave the body. What to speak of ourselves, there can be no exception in our case. There is no escape from that. But death is no bugbear, but still we have to solve this mystery of life, what it is that enlivens this body at this moment of our life, what it is that when it leaves this body, dust thou out, and then to dust shalt thou return. That is the mystery of the life, you see, mystery of life. When one that takes possession of the mind of a man, that is the greatest day of the man's life, because that will find out some solution somewhere. Well, Buddha came back to his home, which is said that very night a son was born to him. Naturally, to a worldly man, it is a very happy day. But he had no joy, no happiness, because that question of the mystery of life, what it is that leaves this body, that was, had taken the possession of his mind fully. He left the home and went to the wilderness to find out a solution of the mystery of life. So we have to see now, to know ourselves, who we are, what we are. Well, about the outer body, we know it is a 5-6 feet high statue we are carrying, you see. That is also very, I think, a gift from God, you see. It is a true temple of God, in which God resides. We have to maintain it, of course. You see, keep it clean from outside. Cleanliness is next to godliness, but we have to keep it also clean from within. Outer temples, how clean we keep them from outside and inside. Those are only made by the hand of man after the image of man, dome-shaped and nose-shaped. But that true temple is our own body that we are carrying, you see. Those who have defiled this temple of God, they are punished. This is what the Bible says. Anyhow, this is one side of the show. That is, I am just telling the man body, the highest of all creation that we are having now. But we will have to leave it someday, that's the point. Have we solved this mystery of life, what it is that is? Do we know who we are, what we are? Can we analyze ourselves from the body at will? Once it so happened in Lahore, now in Punjab, in India, you see, a young man died. His body was taken to the cremation place. And some 300-400 people were there. The body was laid on the ground. They asked me to give some talk at the moment, you see. I told him, well, look here, it is a body just like as you are carrying. Simply the difference lies that something has left that body and that is now still working in you. This fate awaits every man, irrespective to what religion, to what country he belongs, you see. I asked him, are you prepared for this change? If so, well and good. If not, just be prepared how to leave the body.